Jeremiah 18, would you turn in your Bibles? Jeremiah 18, and we're going to start today the second part of a series. In fact, it's the final part today, just a two-part series, kind of a short one called Lessons from the Potter and the Clay, Part 2. And this morning we're diving into the second part. Last week was Lessons from the Clay. This morning I want to talk about Lessons from the Potter. Lessons from the Potter, and continue where we left off last week. I'm not going to rehearse through last week's message. You'll have to get the CD or listen to the podcast to do that. But some good points last week from the clay, and this week we're going to hear from the Father's heart, the Master Potter who's working in every one of our lives in this place. And hopefully we're welcoming that work. We're embracing that work. We're allowing God to do what He needs to do in us to make us into the vessels that He so deeply desires for us to be. Jeremiah chapter 18, and starting in verse 1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Go down, listen, and look." Isaiah chapter 64, "But now, O Lord, you are our father, we are the clay. And you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand." 2 Timothy chapter 2. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is active, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It literally pierces down to the deepest parts of us, and it begins to change us. It's like a scalpel that goes down and begins to excise those things that aren't pleasing to you, begins to make changes so that we would be shaped and molded into your likeness, into your image, and become more and more like you, Jesus, that your light might shine brighter and brighter through our lives. God, speak to us today. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us through this wonderful analogy of you being the potter and we being the clay. May we be clay in your hands, pliable, shapeable, moldable, ready for the work you would do in us, God, that we might be vessels of honor that you're able to pour out of. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen? Amen. Well, this morning we're going to end this series with a focus on the potter. And in reality, the church, when you think about church, you could say the church of Jesus Christ, the church that's alive and well on the earth today, the church is in essence the potter's house, isn't it? In fact, it's the name of a famous church in the Dallas, Texas area, pastored by T.D. Jakes. He chose that name for his church. I think it's a pretty appropriate and powerful name, the potter's house. Why would that be a good name for a church? Because church is the place where we, the clay, gather together for the master potter to take us into his hands and do his good work in us. And hopefully, if you and I are in that right place before him, he's molding and making us this clump of clay into vessels of honor that he can pour into and that he can pour out of to this world. And let me tell you this morning, it's not just those of us with a seminary degree. Please understand this. It's every single one of us. It doesn't matter if you work at Ford, if you work at UPS, if you work wherever in the public school system, whatever your job is, whatever your place of vocation is, you're a vessel that God wants to pour into and God wants to pour out of. And he wants to shape you. He wants to mold you. He wants to make you into that vessel of honor to use your life for his glory wherever he's placed you so that you can touch others. Well, I want to share with you six things again today, six things last week from the clay, six things this week from the potter. Number one is this: the potter has a purpose for every single piece of clay. Every single piece of clay, the potter has a purpose for. And I'm thankful to Miss Mona again, our master potter here in our midst, for bringing me a piece of clay. By the way, I got to tell you something I learned last week as I was standing up here having fun. My wife said, "Boy, you look like you're really having fun. We might have to get you a piece of clay every week when you preach." But I was up here molding and making and shaping and everything. I didn't realize while I was doing it that little bits of clay were getting under my ring, my wedding ring. I don't know about you, but I never take my wedding ring off. And after the service, I began to notice it was really painful. I couldn't bend my hand. I couldn't. And what had happened was the clay had dried and got under there and was crusty. I had to literally chip it off to get it off my ring and stop it from being painful. But anyway, it's interesting how quickly it dries. But every one of us, we're this clay. And God's that master potter who has a desire, a plan, a purpose for every one of us. If you go into a potter's house, you might see lumps of clay all over the place as the potter is at work. You might see a lump of clay. But that's not what the potter sees. Because he sees something more. He sees the talent. He sees the potential. He sees the character. He sees what that clay, not just what it is, but what it can become. And that is absolutely key. You might see a lump of clay, but he sees a beautiful, beautiful vessel. Isn't that pretty? Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous? He sees this beautiful pitcher, this beautiful container that can be poured into and poured out of. That could be a decorative piece in anyone's home that someone would be proud to display. Beautiful piece. By the way, Miss Mona made that. Isn't that pretty? You might see a lump of clay and wonder, is there any purpose for that? Is there anything that you can do with that? And that master potter, he looks at that and he says, yeah, I can make something really pretty and functional out of that. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that piece. Mona, we're going to have a little sale afterwards. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't that gorgeous? Pour into, pour out of my life, my goodness, my kindness, my peace, my presence. You might look around and see, you know, that lump of clay. But God looks and says, wow, I see something absolutely beautiful, decorative, pretty, functional. I was looking at this one this morning. I thought this one must be like my wife, because I don't think I'd have a pretty flower sticking out of me. I don't know what I would be as far as a piece of pottery, but I think that's reminiscent of my wife, a beautiful flower coming out. Every single lump of clay, the potter has a purpose for it. And here's the thing that you and I need to get our arms around. You'll never truly be happy in life, I don't think, until you find that purpose that the potter has in mind for you. I mean, you can do a lot of things to try to find happiness, to try to find purpose, to try to satisfy that deepest thing within you. You might get a new job. You might go out and get a new car. You might even go out and get a new house. And sometimes people even go out and get a new spouse. But you'll never be happy until you find the purpose that God originally intended for you. What did he want to make you into, to use for his glory? The master potter has a plan for you. And let me tell you, when you find that purpose, there's great reward. It is so rewarding to be in that place where God has called you. I love to preach. I absolutely love. I so enjoy these moments, this opportunity to bring God's word to you. I feel like it's one of God's giftings in my life. In fact, it energizes me. Oftentimes on Sunday afternoon, I'll be so wiped out because the adrenaline has rushed through me. I have just really enjoyed pouring everything out that I can to you. But I'll tell you this, I'm not gifted at administration. You put me in a place where I have to manage something day in and day out, mundane tasks, oh my gosh, it drives me nuts. It drives me crazy. I love starting things. I love big picture. I love pioneering things. But boy, managing something, the mundane tasks, it just drains the life out of me. That's not something I'm gifted at. Have you found the gifting of God in your life, those things that bring you energy and life? Sometimes, and this is one of the great mistakes that we'll make at times, sometimes people have decided what their purpose is, but sadly enough, they've never asked the potter what their purpose is. You see, they think they found it on their own without ever asking the master potter who is shaping and molding and working on their lives what his real purpose is for them. If that's you here this morning, I hope that you begin to ask him. And you know what? As you ask him, begin to serve somewhere. Can you imagine with me, I mean, how ludicrous it would be for a student to just get out of college, just get his bachelor's degree, and then go to a job interview and sit down at that job interview, and the interviewer says, what position are you interviewing for here at the company? He says, CEO. I'd like to be CEO. Well, I'm sure you would, but I'm not sure that's where we're going to start you. In fact, in our opinion, you're just out of college. You've got a lot to learn. You've got a lot to grow in. So why don't we put you in the mail room where you can begin to serve and you can begin to show us the excellence of your work and your diligence and your vision and your heart. And guess what? If you do a great job there, maybe you'll become the head of the mail room. And then maybe from there, after we've seen what a great job you've done and that CEO potential that you have within you, maybe we'll put you in charge of a department. And then if you do that well, and you serve with diligence and faithfulness there, maybe we'll move you up to being an executive in the company. And then after a few years of proving yourself there, maybe you will, young man or young woman, one day be the CEO. But guess what? You get to start in the mailroom, just like all of us. You get to start in the servants' quarters. You get to start by laying your life down. Find a place to serve. Begin to exercise those gifts. Begin to find out and discover how it is that God has made you and what his purpose is for you. Sometimes we do the very same thing in the church. We show up and we think, you know, I've got this great gifting, so I should be elevated and promoted to the place of my desire. You know, what do you want to do here in the church? Well, I'd love to be an elder. Or maybe I'd even love to be the pastor. Well, you know what? Begin to serve. And let God make a way for you. Let your gift make a way for you. I'll never forget in those early days when I just began to serve, and I was sharing with one of my friends this morning. We were talking about just how God's working in so many of our young people's hearts and lives. And sometimes, you know, depending on where we come from and what our expectations are, those paths that God's taking our young people can look rather different than the path that we walk. We have a lot of young people who are going into full-time ministry, and I celebrate that. That is one of the most exciting things in my heart, my mind, to see that happening. But it's a very different path than going to school and going to college and getting out and getting a job. But let me tell you, it's that servant's heart that makes the difference. It's getting in there and beginning to let that gift make a way for you, working your way up in the kingdom by being a faithful, diligent servant that others can count on. I'll never forget, I was in my church and I was a young person and I had a passion for the Lord and I was wanting to be involved in outreach, and I started taking some young people with me on outreach to downtown Louisville at 10 o'clock on Friday nights. Before I knew it, it was amazing. I had a team of about 30 young people that would show up every Friday night at 10 o'clock right across the street from the Trailway bus station. Nobody asked me to do it. Nobody told me to do it. It was a passion of my heart to do. And I did it week in and week out just faithfully because I knew people needed Jesus and they needed to hear the good news, and there was no better place than to go into the heart of our city and share that. And then out of that, I was a part of a small group, and Rex was with me on many of those things, my dear friend right there in the back. And we started a small group, and before I knew it, man, we had more people in our small group than anybody in our church. It was amazing. One of the pastors came and said, you know what? I think you ought to be a small group leader. Well, okay. I was already doing it, you know. And then it just things went from there. And before I knew it, doors opened, opportunities came. But you start by just being faithful and diligent. And it's interesting because the master potter, he has a purpose for every single piece of clay, and he has a purpose for your life. Number two, the master potter always works from the inside out. Have you ever noticed that? He starts on the inside. When he's making that clay and you have that clay on the wheel and it's turning on the wheel, the potter puts his hand on the inside and begins to, as that wheel is turning, begins to shape. Have you ever felt that hand of the master potter on the inside kind of pressing and pushing and shaping in your life? I've felt that a lot of times. Anybody with me? Am I the only one? And sometimes it's a little painful. Sometimes it's a little difficult. He starts pushing down on the inside. See, our focus is so many times on the outside. Boy, if I could just have that job. But can I just be real honest with you this morning? God knows you don't have the character yet to have that job, to do it well, to treat the people around you well. You don't have the character yet. So he's got his hand in there and he's shaping and molding as you're going around on the wheel. And sometimes we say, well, you know, if I just had more money, I'd be happy. I just need more money. But you know what God knows? He knows if you had more money, it would just tend to cause you to compromise. You couldn't handle the responsibility of it. So his hand is there working on the inside, shaping you, molding you. See, even if you're gifted or talented, that only means so much. Your competency will only take you as far as your character will sustain you. Some of you should write that down. That's a great thing to remember. We've all seen it. Highly gifted pastors, politicians, incredibly famous athletes, other public figures have failed, not because they weren't competent, but because they weren't up for the job morally. Because their character had not been adequately shaped yet, and they'd been promoted beyond their character. Their competency had outran their character, and they'd not been on the wheel long enough, letting the master potter do the shaping and the molding that was necessary for them to become the person God wanted them to be. Let me tell you, an addiction, an affair, embezzlement, or honestly, just sometimes being a jerk will cause you to be disqualified and you'll lose your influence. If we were to be honest, we ought to work twice as hard on our character as on our competency. We ought to allow God to do the deep and the painful soul work on each and every one of us so that we can truly become who God wants us to be. And time on the wheel is not fun. It doesn't always feel the best, but it's going to bring about something wonderful that we could have never even imagined. I want you to see this beautiful pot. Look at this. Isn't that gorgeous? Fleur-de-lis cut into the side. Beautiful coloring. Oh, God has a plan and a purpose for you. But sometimes when you're in the midst of it, it feels a little painful. See, God says in his word that it's not what goes in a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. Why is that? Well, let me tell you. It's pretty simple. But what goes in comes from the outside, and what comes out comes from the inside. And we're not just talking about food and digestion and these kind of things. Because it's not about food, it's about who we are deep down inside. It's about who you are when nobody's looking. It's about the person that you are, the character that you have. It's about God getting deep down in there, working on those lustful areas of your life, those jealous areas of your life, that anger issue that you keep trying to hide and keep trying to deal with on your own, but you can't conquer it, that unforgiveness that you've been unwilling to let go of, that gossip that every time you find yourself in a situation just blurts out from you. Those are the things that defile us. It's our character that truly counts and that God wants to work on. See, Jesus says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes people will say, "You know, well, you don't really know what's in my heart." Well, let me just tell you, if I hang around you long enough and I listen to you talk enough, I'll find out. Because the words of your mouth will show me exactly what's going on the inside of you. Just listen, it comes out. Number three, the potter. The potter has a display shelf for vessels of honor. You walk into the potter's shop and there's shelves with some of the most beautiful pieces on them right there that you can see and you can look at. There might be a shelf back in the back somewhere of pieces that are being worked on, but these are the ones that are being promoted and platformed, and you look at and you go, wow, that's beautiful. They're vessels of honor that have allowed the master potter to mold them into that vessel of great use. And He knows how to raise them up and how to honor them. Because they're quite honestly, they're vessels that are only interested in honoring the potter. See, personality-wise, it's interesting. Only about half of us want to be seen, and the other half of us don't want to be seen. And it's interesting because as God's working on us as the master potter, for those of us that want to be on display and on the display shelf but aren't, let me offer some advice. Ask God what needs to change deep down inside. Ask God what it is that he needs to work out of you so that he can raise you up and put you in that place where your influence in your life is making a greater difference. There's something he wants to do, and if you will welcome him to do it, he'll be faithful to begin to shape and mold and bring about those changes. And those that don't want to be on the display shelf, be careful. Don't be a victim of false pride, because I'm not talking about promoting yourself. I'm not talking about being in a place where it becomes about you. But God might just want to use you in a greater way. See, the Bible talks about God opposing the proud, but raising up those that are humble. And sometimes he gives people a platform where they can speak his word, where they can show others the way, where they can be an influence to others. And it's really about him and about him wanting to use your life in a greater sphere of influence. Let his light shine through you. Number four, the potter, the master potter, he always works with his hands. Now today, sometimes if you go into a potter shop, you'll find that they've got some tools and some instruments. But long ago, in the potter's house, it was just the potter's hands. Now I think there's something really kind of powerful about that, something maybe even precious about that, because God has a very personal touch in your life and in my life. This is special to me. I can't tell you how many times those intimate moments where God was just gently and lovingly dealing with me. And I knew deep down on the inside that he loved me because he was correcting me. See, a true father brings discipline. A true father brings correction. A true father doesn't let us just wander off and become a law unto ourselves, doing our own thing. No, a true father cares enough to be involved in your life, to push and press and stretch and make some changes at times. And I can't tell you how many times just feeling even the Lord's gentle but loving and personal correction in my life just brought tears to my eyes, because I knew he cared about me and he was helping me to grow, and he still is. I've got so much stuff in my life he's still working on. I have this theory. I don't know if you have this theory or not, but I have this theory that God doesn't show us all of our stuff at once. And I'm really glad about that, because I would have been really overwhelmed. But he works on a little bit at a time. And just when you get that one down, you know, that thing on patience, now he's over here working on the jealousy thing. And just when you finally get a little bit of freedom and advancement there, then he's over here working on the anger thing. And it's always something. God's always got something to shape and mold and do in each of our hearts and lives if we'll just embrace it. But he works with his hands, and it's personal, and it's gentle, and it's loving. Number five, the potter has a potter's field out back for clay that won't receive water. Last week we talked about the only thing that can really mold the clay is water. And the water in God's word is actually God's word. It's you and I coming before the perfect mirror of the word of God so that we can see those areas in our life that need correction, that need his discipline, that need his love and his molding and his shaping. And this one's kind of sobering, because sometimes a piece of clay, even last week, and I'm even experiencing it here this morning, because I keep just messing with this, it's starting to dry out. It needs water desperately, and it's not as pliable and moldable as it was when I first got my hands on it here this morning. Given it enough time, it won't receive water anymore. Kind of like the clay that connected to my ring last week. Have you ever known anyone Have you ever known anyone along the way that quite honestly, you just couldn't tell them anything because it seemed like they knew everything? Anybody ever known anybody like that? If you don't, then that's you, okay? So be careful. You better go ahead and let me know, okay? Even great men of God over the years have fell to the pride of no longer being willing to be molded, to receive the word that changes us, that transforms us. In Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 7, I'm not going to read it, but it's an interesting passage where he continues on talking about, you know, I have a plan for you, but you have to be willing. You have to be receptive. In fact, sometimes what we need most of all is just to repent. And sometimes we, for whatever reason, we hear that word repentance and we have a kind of a negative connotation, and we shouldn't, because let me tell you, repentance is very positive. Repentance is just that practice of saying, you know what? I've gotten off into my own thinking again, and I need to think like God. I need to line myself back up with His word. I need to get back into that place where He can bless me, because I've gotten over here thinking I can do it on my own. I've gotten over here thinking that I know better. No, I don't. I want to be in that place where He can bless and build and work and do what He wants to do in my life. Number six, and lastly, the potter breaks and remakes every vessel. It was interesting, I don't know if you noticed it, as we were reading our passage this morning in Jeremiah 18. It says, and the vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Sometimes things come along and they mar us. Sometimes we make choices that mar us. And the potter has to take that piece of clay and begin to mold and shape again. And it says, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Sometimes in one season of your life, God will have you being a pitcher, and in another season of life, you might be a cup. But it's that willingness, that desire, that openness to let Him shape and mold for His glory. This isn't something to fear, it's something to embrace, because God lovingly deals with us. He's not out to get you. His wrath's already been poured out on Jesus. He wants to make you into that vessel of honor. As we close today, I want to share just a couple more thoughts with you. And that's just simply this. In the world, there's a saying that's pretty popular. And raise your hand if you've heard this. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Anybody ever heard that saying? Kind of a country saying there. It sounds better with that word ain't in it, doesn't it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I remember hearing that as I grew up. When I began to get into God's word and study God's word, here's what I realized that God says. If it isn't broken, I can't use it. And I found myself very early on, and I find myself even in these days, oftentimes feeling very broken, very humble, very, very much in need of God. For Him to shape and mold and continue to ply my life into something that brings Him great glory. David said this. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In fact, it's interesting. If you study the history of pottery, one of the things that's interesting in the first century, back in the early church, the word sincere, which is a word that we know today and use today, the word sincere, a good word. The roots of that word is actually the word sincera. Sincera. And it's a pottery term. It's very interesting. In old days, you know, pottery was very popular, very necessary for life. And you'd go into the market and you'd go to buy a piece of pottery. And what you would do is you'd take that piece of pottery and you'd hold it up to the light. And you could look at that piece of pottery and you could tell whether or not it was a sincere piece of pottery, because the word sincera literally means without wax. And what they would oftentimes do is there'd be a break or a chip or something defective about the pottery, and they'd take wax and rub it in, and it would hold the pottery together, and it would look like a perfect bowl or pitcher or pot. And the only way you could tell whether it was sincere or without wax was holding it up to the light. Isn't that interesting? I think God wants us to hold our lives up to the light of His Word every day so that we can see those cracks, those fissures, those places that need His work, that need His correction. Amen? Now, like I said, God walks us through seasons of brokenness so we can understand our great need for Him. But it's interesting because there's another thing about pottery that fascinates me. There's a Japanese form of pottery. I think it's called kintsugi. And what they do is they literally, those broken pieces of pottery, instead of filling them in with wax, they fill them in with gold. And it becomes this beautiful, beautiful piece that has these gold threads through it. And it actually is stronger and better than even just the piece of pottery on its own. I think that's what God does in each of our lives. He molds us. He shapes us. In those places where He walks us through those seasons of brokenness, those seasons of challenge and difficulty, when He puts us back together, He does it with gold so that we're even more beautiful, more decorative, more useful for the Master's hands. Amen? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team, the ministry team to come up quickly. And if you're here this morning and you have never made a commitment to Christ with your life, I just want to give you that opportunity. It's such a powerful thing, such a life-changing thing. Literally, I think the greatest gift that's ever been offered to mankind is the gift of life that Jesus offers. I just want to pray for you right where you are, right where you're seated. If you'll just pray and ask the Lord into your heart, He'll hear you this morning. Just say, "Dear Jesus, I need You. I need You to come in to forgive my sin, to be Lord, Savior of my life. Teach me how to live for You from this day forward." If you prayed that, the Lord heard you and answered you. And I'm going to ask you if you'd just be brave here in a moment. We stand and when we sing, we're going to invite folks to come and receive prayer. Would you come and let someone know you prayed that prayer today? For the rest of us here this morning, maybe, just maybe, the Word just challenged you this morning and you began to think about and realize some of those areas of your life that just need the potter's touch. Whatever it may be, would you allow Him to do His work in you today? He loves you and He has a plan for you. You're not just a lump of clay. He wants to make you into a beautiful, useful vessel for His honor. Just stand with me this morning. We're going to sing together. Whatever your need is today, whatever it may be, would you feel free to come? If you need prayer today, these men and women are trusted and wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ who'd love just to have the privilege and honor to pray with you this morning. So we're going to sing it through. You come if you need prayer, and I'll come and dismiss us in just a moment. God bless you. Thank you.